welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO, that's our number. You know, best laid plans, right? Enjoying the Memorial Day weekend and got the whole, you know, really cool gear set up, the Mr. Microphone and all these things all set, and I can't seem to join the internet. So we're on the old-fashioned way. So I'm on the phone. Help us out. Give us a call. It's 580-KIDO. If you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. Fortunately, the cell coverage still works, so I can get emails as well. Anyway, I just wanted to apologize, if you will, for the less than perfect connection. But we'll get through it. We always have, and I appreciate you putting up with it on the phone. So what we've got going on this week, right? Market continues to roll. Nobody believes it. All the news out of D.C. is bad. Joe's going to spend $6 trillion. We don't take in but four. Now, we're going to pretend that raising taxes raises revenue. Never has. Obviously, it won't. This is a condition we're in, and this is the condition that the market continues to run to all-time highs. And I've said this so many times over the last few months, but it always bears repeating, because we all get caught in it. I do. Everybody does. We know the news, even though some of us, I would suspect many of us, don't watch that much news, if at all. You can't stop getting it, though. And you can't stop having opinions if you're reading the Wall Street Journal, you're seeing things online, and you start thinking about what it is to be in the market. And all you ever see is that the market is too high. And the market is too high. It's too high if you think that spending $6 trillion when you only take in four after spending, what did we spend, $8 trillion last year? We have enormous unfunded liabilities. We have inflation around the corner, on and on. Did you see lumber prices? I bought this. I was about to do my deck and then found out instead of $15,000, it was going to cost $25,000, and then I couldn't find anybody else. So they got another bid, and it was like $30,000. You hear that story every single day. Everywhere. People are struggling with understanding or even getting something done, understanding how high prices are, or even finding somebody to do things. Extremely hard. Easy to feel that the market is too high. Easy. And sometimes I just have to go back, and again, we can just look at it today and say, that's the way it is today. But when we just say that it is, oh, that's the way it is right now, and the market's doing well, and we're reopening, we also miss the long-term picture. So that's the short term. Market's okay. The market's okay because we're reopening. That's the short-term picture. It doesn't matter what Joe and company do. It doesn't matter what they talk about. The economy is booming. We are reopening. Everywhere you go, if you're trying to get on an airplane, you're trying to rent a car, it's difficult. They're full. And it's going to take time to get more airplanes in the air, get more pilots, get more crew, get more cars. But everybody's moving. It's over. The virus is over. And the fact that everything is opening up again is an economic boom. And that's just a fact. And it's really hard for people sometimes, I think, to just look at the simple straightforward reality of the simple. We're reopening. That's it. If you want to put all of this, all of the horrible things that are going on in Washington, D.C. long term, then do that. Now, let's flip it over and say, okay, but all these things long term are a problem. They are. Do I think that Joe is going to get a 43% capital gains tax on a federal level? No. The economics of it aren't real. It's punitive. It has nothing to do with raising revenue because people will simply not sell things. They won't. So we're going to pretend that we're going to get more revenue. People just, they know better. And it is going to leak out. Even if you have the press on your side, it still gets out. So I think from that perspective, we have to wait and see. Is this what the United States will do? Or understand this from a long-term perspective. We may have this for a while, but it's going to go away again because crazy people won't be in the White House at some point. Crazy people won't run Congress, and the laws will change. They always have. Now, let's take it one step further, and I want to talk about this a lot in the second hour. If we are going to talk about long term, then we need to think long term. Just yesterday, Amgen announced a remarkable pill for lung cancer. We came up with vaccines in a year, which is a whole new technology moving forward. This is just the tip of the spear of what always happens. We continue to progress, and we miss this. Don't we? We miss the simplicity of things getting better all the time. We get caught in the minutia of crazy Joe is raising taxes. He doesn't even hold any meetings after noon. Who's actually in charge? I don't know. We don't know. And we should ask these questions. But when it comes to the progress of humankind, of the economy, and we just dismiss the fact, literally just dismiss that millions of people every year don't starve anymore. Just dismiss it. Like, yeah, another problem solved. It's an enormous problem. All of Africa has all kinds of problems. We all know that. But the idea that you're going from one major starvation to another year after year after year. They can't get any clean water. And so people have all kinds of water-bound disease. They don't have it anymore. Or it's minimizing because we deliver, we, the great inventors, have come up with solutions so that in the middle of nowhere, they have clean water. It's crazy. Just little things. As long as we continue to grow, the world continues to grow, the world continues to innovate, great companies will come up with great ideas and great profits. And we're innovating at a faster pace than all of history. It's fast, and we miss it because we get caught in what is wrong today. Fight the good fight, yes, but don't lose the perspective that the world is getting better and better and better and better all the time. Economically, I know you can argue with me in multiple ways, and I will tell you, yes, the world is upside down. What's right is wrong and wrong is right. I get it. It makes us uncomfortable and makes it hard to separate the economics from the reality of a very upside down world. But they are two different things. And when we're talking about the markets, don't overlay your social, personal feelings about what's right or wrong in the world. People on the left and on the right do it all the time. Donald Trump's president. Oh my gosh, the market's going to tank. It's going to soar. Joe Biden's going to destroy everything. He's trying, but he won't. Sometimes laying over top of it. Is this reality? Things change over time. They go back and forth. Tax rates go up, they go down. Economic decisions are good or they're horrible. Policy changes. But the world keeps growing. We can feel it's upside down. But it's amazing that we get to live in this time. A time of such abundance and such promise as we move forward. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. And we'll be right back. Hello, good morning, and happy Memorial Day. Gosh, beginning of summer, right? The unofficial start of summer, and boy, are we getting some great weather for that. Wow, wow, wow. Anyway, hope you're out and enjoying it, and thank you all who are listening this weekend, this holiday weekend, and particularly those who are calling in. Let's go to Spinner. Spinner, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, buddy. How are we doing today?
Good, good. How are you?
You know, hey, first things first, man, I definitely big advocate for how you approach the show. I love the ability that, in what my opinion, I feel is that you say it like it is, man. And I appreciate the strength and honor that you have in talking about the real issues, man. God bless. That's a huge, important thing. Definitely keep that fight going for sure, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Spinner. Thank you.
Of course, man. I'm very, very fortunate to live in this beautiful state of Idaho, and to hear that, the passion, not only from the callers and a lot of good patriots I talked to, but also on the radio, man. I mean, we get freedom of speech taken from us, bud. I mean, everything else gets going. So, I mean, God bless you for that fight and journey, man. I'll definitely pray for you. But for my question, though, is when does the inflation kind of like counteract the fact that we're not on the gold standard? We really don't have much of a value other than a monetary value of what we buy. You know, I'm curious on when the collapse is coming. You know, I've talked to a lot of financial guys that are way smarter than me. Everybody I've talked to said the collapse is coming. And like I just heard on your last segment, you know, the economy is booming, but does the boom intertwine with the inflation, and how long does that go till the dollar collapses? Or maybe I just need to be educated more and I'm just running too much off of an emotion here.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to start with your second comment. The answer is yes, it is emotional. And also when we're talking about finances and gold standard and things like that, this is a confusing topic, and it's confusing to me as well.
Yes, sir.
And I think that, you know, it's just one of those things where we wind up in a circumstance where would we like to be on the gold standard? Well, I suppose, but I'm not sure exactly what that's going to look like. We've tried it both ways, and we've had plenty of boom bust periods. In fact, one of the reasons they went off of the gold standard was to try to change monetary policy. And we did slow down the boom bust. Remember, we were kind of a big industrial nation, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that it's more services oriented now than ever before. And you don't get those big economic swings like you do with a boom bust industrial type economy, right?
Right.
So with that, we have a more steady economy. But also, when we changed off the gold standard, and again, I'm not an expert, and I'm about why we ought or ought not to be.
But I think you're a realist, though, bud. You know, I mean, you don't have to have a PhD to, you know, it's in the aspect. Sorry to cut you there, bud, but kind of almost a Taoistic style. You are smart enough to see when something smells bad, and you have the strength to be able to call it out.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. But what I am saying is that I can't tell you the details of how you would take an economy like we have globally now, with wiring assets around with a limited amount of gold. What does that look like in a world of trillions of dollars of debt with trillions of dollars of assets? I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how you transition to that. But
yes, sir.
Would it be nice to have a pile of gold that actually represents what you could have? But is there a reality that we are faced with in our world today of integrated trade with a zillion different countries out there? And how do we do that with a gold base? That's why I say I'm not the expert of that. Do I think this money printing is a problem? Of course I do. It's an enormous problem. And you've obviously heard me talk a lot about it, the fact that we can't just be printing, printing, printing. What we are by definition is taking away from the future of our children, grandchildren, our descendants, if you will, period. We are
right.
Taking away. That is going to happen. So when we're dealing with that, I think it's a question of also a moral problem. So should we be, is it going to collapse? I don't think so. People have talked about it collapsing for my entire life. This isn't new. And the experts have been, quotes, whoever the experts are, because there's plenty of other experts out there that say, this isn't going to collapse. I don't know what they're talking about. There's great faith globally in the U.S. dollar. The assets of the United States are absolutely tremendous. We can't keep doing what we're doing and not diminish that asset base.
Right.
But we do have the wealth and the greatness to continue to lead the world. That really,
I appreciate,
I think, is
that.
Without question.
I love how you, that outlook, bud.
Well, it's true. And as I always say, the only realism is optimism. It's going to work out. But we also have to look at the problems of today so the future looks out and looks better. And I'm not agreeing that this is a good thing, that we're spending too much money. It's not. It's going to lead to inflation. No doubt. No doubt about that.
I appreciate that, buddy.
That. Anyway, Spinner, I appreciate your call. Obviously, you can hear the music, and I appreciate it. I'll talk some more about
God
this
bless
in
you,
the second
buddy.
Hour. You got me rolling, man. All right. You hear the music. We are going to talk some more about this. Look, we're not trying to have a Pollyanna speech here. That's for sure. We've got plenty of problems out there, plenty of problems in the world, plenty of misunderstanding. But it isn't as bad as the doomsayers will have you believe. Frankly, it never is. It really never is. All right. Give us a call, 580-KIDO, dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be back after Fox News for hour number two. Good morning. Happy Memorial Day. Thank you for joining us, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And, of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. They're not the radio stations, some broker-dealer or anything like that. And we're not here to tell you what to buy or sell. I'm not here to tell you anything, actually. Nothing. Nothing at all. We're here to learn and grow together. I'm not here to pimp an annuity. Not at all. Not a product. And I'm not going to tell you that the world is ending or that Wall Street's a casino. Because it's not. It's not a casino at all. A cup of coffee a day. $5 a day. For 40 years. In the S&P 500. Is $1.1 million. That says, that screams. Anybody. Can become rich in America, owning the greatest corporations in the world and doing nothing but that. No inventing something, no getting up in the middle of the night to take calls. Just put some money away. and the great corporations. That's the S&P 500. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Companies like WorldCom and Enron, where they destroyed the entire value of the company. Great corporations like Amazon and Google, Facebook, etc. No, you don't like those corporations? Well, I don't either. I don't like what they do. I don't like their censorship. I don't like their wokeness, but I love their stocks. It's the old line companies like Procter & Gamble. It's the creative destruction. Everybody runs around like their hair is on fire. We got to figure out a way, because the world's going to come to an end soon. I can feel it. I know it. We're going to have hyperinflation. We're going to have this problem. We're going to have that problem. I need to go chase GameStop. I wonder about Bitcoin. What do you think about Bitcoin? I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to borrow a bunch of money and go after this particular business idea. I heard about this one stock over here. What do you think? Should I put $100 on it, like the Knicks game tonight? Cup of coffee a day. That's all it takes. And so when people talk about it, well, what do you think about the market? I think it's the single greatest thing to have the average person be able to make a fortune, to have financial independence. Nothing comes close. But we talk about it like it's a casino, like we have to be scared of it. Why? To sell high commission garbage to people, to sell gold or other scare things. Fear sells. Always has. Always has. Gold bugs have existed since I started in the industry. I kind of think they probably were there before, don't you? It's a fiat currency. There's no reality to it. Okay. Well, I'm just looking at reality all around me every day. Corporate profits are real. I know the world's coming to an end. I hear the 10 reasons why every single day. And they basically recycle. This is such a great thing that we have. And sharks ruin it, don't they? Scare people, buy my newsletter. You don't want to be in a Wall Street casino. Yeah, you do. Yes, we do. 10% a year, creative destruction. Look around you sometime. Just go somewhere. Does this look like the end? Does it? All the abundance? Everywhere? It's crazy. It's crazy good. It's crazy easy. We think about where we've been. I think about it all the time. I can't believe I'm going to be 60 in a month. 60. My brain doesn't tell me I'm 60, that's for sure. Now I know what old people were talking about. I don't feel like I'm an old person. You sure look like one. I get it now. I don't feel that, but it means that I've been around for a while. I've been in this great industry. Talk to people every single day about finances, about their life, about their plans, about their goals. I've had the most amazing career. I can't believe I've gotten to do the things that I get to do, that I've made the kind of money that I got to make, that I was able to help so many people in their finances. I just can't believe it. I would want to relive it. You know, I want to relive it. It's great. But the thing is that there's no reason to be afraid. 40 years, when I started in this industry, was 21%, 21.5 to be exact, prime lending rates, double-digit unemployment, double-digit inflation, not a little bit of inflation, double-digit, out of control. Jimmy Carter led to Ronald Reagan, and the world got a lot better. Soviet Union was a real deal, frightening. Really was. Just part of life, you know, it's just the way we lived. Putting our head under the desk when we were school kids, you know, with our special nuclear protected desks. Part of life. And creative destruction worked. Is the market going to have a 10% correction? You would have to be a fool not to think it. It's going to, because it always does. Are you ready for this number? 98 out of the past 100 years, the market has had a 10% correction. Nowadays, if we have a 5% correction, we're going to end up with specials at night on CNBC. The market meltdown. Join us at 6 o'clock tonight. I better. Oh my gosh, the market's melting down. What do we do? I think we should probably sell, you know, because what you want to buy high, sell low, and repeat that behavior, and then turn around and point your finger at Wall Street. It's their fault. Not exactly healthy, is it? 98 out of the last 100 years, we have a 10% correction, and what do we spend our time worrying about? The inevitable, certain to happen, market corrections. We spend an awful lot of time doing that, don't we? We get on and we talk about what the hot part of the market is. You know, tech stock rotation today. You know, we're rotating out of tech stocks and into value stocks. What do you think, Jim? Well, I think this is going to continue because what I say every day is whatever's happening right now at this second, I think is going to continue today. And I say it in a way that makes me look really smart. And on top of things, next question. Every day we talk about this as if it has something to do with the long-term wealth creation machine. Like, I got to somehow get this rotation right, don't I? My gosh, maybe I really should move out of my Amazon and Google and pay massive amounts of capital gains for this little short run we are on here. Maybe I should get rid of these great companies and rotate into, what was it saying? The value rotation. What is that? I should probably move into that. Yeah? You can put some money in front. You should. It's a good reopening trade. There's no question about it. But what we never seem to understand or get is it's okay to own great corporations and keep owning them. I just ran into this past week. Since the iPhone, we looked it up. It's more than this number, actually, but with all the stock splits, there's 28 times stock splits in Apple since the iPhone. And the stock's up. How do you get 30-fold increases? You own them. You own the companies. How many rotations would you have had, you know, where Apple was underperforming? 12, 20 times at least, maybe 50, where, you know, I don't know if Apple is going to be able to do it. And we call this news. We call this information. I call it information overload, stupidity, irrelevance. Why am I wasting my time? Why am I trying to fight this misinformation? Why? Why is it that great investors like Warren Buffett don't live on Wall Street? They live in Omaha, flyover country, where dumb people live. Oh, yeah, I live in flyover country, too. Sorry, I didn't mean to insult everybody, but we do live in flyover country. The really smart people are in the coasts. They're on Wall Street. Sir John Templeton, my mentor, always commented the further he got from Wall Street, they seem to have better investment results. Quite a statement. We own companies. As human beings, we want to gamble. We want to change. We don't like change, but we want to play games. And we look at Robinhood, and it looks like a video game. I'm going to put $10 on GameStop today because you can buy fractional shares. What a great thing. The average investor can buy fractional shares. Really? So we can turn this into a gamble. I'm just going to throw 10 on the Knicks tonight. There is no gamble. And if we sit around and we how can they say those things on the radio? I don't know. Because the laws are too lax. This is an easy, the easiest, hardest thing. But all it is mental. You've seen it your whole life, your parents' lives. The world progresses. You know, it does. And because today's great corporations were not yesterday's. And tomorrow's may not be today's. It's called creative destruction. It's the best mechanism for the average person to live a better, a more abundant life. To create and innovate amazing things that save lives. Give us longer life, better life, more abundant life. And we lose that. We lose sight of that in this constant gibberish about what the market's going to do. And all the fear. You see, it really isn't a small thing to say, I don't listen. Does that mean I'm an ostrich and I put my head in the sand? Oh, I'm scared. I just don't want to know what's going on. No. It means I don't need a sales pitch. That's not doing me any good. That's not called information at all. It's not. It's just a pitch. It's misinformation. Or I'm just being told or yelled at all the constant things that are wrong in the world. You need to watch us 24/7 because you don't know when you're going to miss something. Most important thing you can do most all the time in business, in life, in your relationships, in the market is to sit on your hands and shut your mouth. Just shut up. Sit on your hands, own Apple. And as far as relationships, that's one for me too, right? Just shut up. Just let it go. All of us. But why we feel this need to try to guess or game the next 10% move in the market instead of calling it inevitable, certain to happen over and over again all the days of our lives, and I'm ignoring it. What does it have to do with the income in your portfolio? What does it have to do with the dividends coming in on your Pfizer, your Johnson & Johnson, your Procter & Gamble? What does that have to do with the number of iPhones that Apple is selling? Nothing. But it's all we jabber about. It's crazy. So here's this information. Here's the easiest way in the whole world. Let me figure out how I can wreck that. What could I do to mess that up? That's what we do. Let me grind on this instead of relishing it. It's an amazing amount of abundance, right? And we're figuring out how miserable that is. That's a sad state, and it leads us to make really bad investment decisions, all right? Look, we're living longer, more abundant lives. That's inarguable. The world has problems. We're doing this wrong. We're taking freedoms away. I get it. I believe that. And it's going to slow down our growth. Do you really think innovation is slowing down? I don't know what you're reading or smoking, if you think it's slowing down. Not all of it's great. Some of it's scary. Artificial intelligence scares the socks off of me. But a lot of cool stuff comes from that, too. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at petsofinancial.net. Hopefully we're going to take your calls the rest of the hour, your emails, and we'll talk about this. We've got to get our minds right. We really do. We fuss a lot, don't we? We fuss a lot. For all the gifts we have, all the blessings we have, it's stunning. 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and once again, happy Memorial Day weekend. Wow, just a fun time, isn't it? Always is. It's always a fun time. It seems like it's just that great weather period. I know it's not every perfect every year, but goodness gracious, it's just beautiful, beautiful. All right, let's go ahead and jump on the phones. And again, welcome, welcome, welcome. 580-5436, 580-KIDO, that's our number. Where is Jim? Jim, thanks for holding. You've been on hold for a long time.
Here I be. Happy Memorial Day.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Well, to answer Spinner, I will quote that great philosopher, or actually her songwriter for her most famous song, Doris Day, Que sera, sera, what will be, or to quote that great philosopher Bill Clinton, it depends on what the definition of his is. So anyway, or then there's Mad Magazine. What? Me worry? So
that's right.
What's going to happen is going to happen. And the thing is, it's ridiculous. It's like the Titanic. If it's going to go down, it's going to go down. And to switch a bunch of asset classes to try to hide wealth, so to speak, which I guess they do with Bitcoin, is ridiculous. My 3 cents worth today.
You know, actually, that's kind of sort of super true. So I'll call you the great philosopher today, Jim, because that is really true.
That's quite the compliment.
You know, one of the things that I remind myself of a lot, and really I phrase it this way. In my own head, I phrase it differently, but I phrase it to people this way. If you believe that the world is ending, that we're going to have some kind of economic collapse where you have to run to the Albertsons store with gold, I just don't know how to manage around that, because I don't think they're going to weigh my gold at Albertsons so I can buy a loaf of bread. I don't know what the world looks like. I just don't know how to manage around that. I would suggest that probably a bunker, food, and weapons are going to be your only needed, desired possessions.
Well, you know,
because that you can't, there's not going to be commerce if we don't have a currency to trade in today's world. So it just, it's not something I can manage around and go, oh, well, you know, what does really good in a complete economic collapse is gold.
Well, you know,
I suppose it does, but I don't know how you're going to use it.
back in the 50s, when there was a scare of Russia dropping the bomb, you know, people were, some people were building bomb shelters, you know. Well, what, to me, what good would it be if you came out of a bomb shelter and you were the only ones left? What good would life be? I mean, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous. Or, you know, building a bunker in Montana and stocking up on all sorts of AK-47s. I mean, what good is that? So.
Correct. I know. And it's a different philosophy of life. And I agree with you 100%. What is the point? I think I would just want to see the flash and be gone. Okay. I don't think I want to watch people die of radiation and somehow I'm in a bunker. And then 150 years from now, I can come out of the bunker and grow a crop. It doesn't make any sense to me either. So, but it's a different philosophy for folks, and they live their life, they make their choice. I watch people ride bicycles with a mask on. I don't understand that. Doesn't make any sense, and there is no science to say that. Even the CDC now agrees with that. So, aren't they cutting edge? Our CDC, aren't they just cutting edge? Or they're such leaders in the field of medicine. They're not followers; they're leaders. You know,
I ride my bicycle all the time. And I have, get this, I have seen this sign on several buses, buses going downtown, that says, Idahoans wear face coverings all the time. Can you believe that? You talk about propaganda.
It's crazy. It's created a crazy world, and it is going to end. And I just think that, as I travel around, I'm seeing it even in Nutville places like Seattle, where people are just getting happier and they are busting out. They're not wearing their mask every second of the day. It is just different. It's slower there, but if you are, you know, living in a place like Idaho, it's just pretty good, isn't it? It's pretty good.
Yeah. But it's like the old, what they always say, you know, the frog in boiling water, you know. Well, if you don't have any experience, if you're a kid today, you don't know what freedom is. If you get used to wearing a mask all the time, then it's normal. So,
I don't disagree with you, Jim. I think that there are people that really want that mask, and they do. Otherwise, you know, it's crazy. Why in the world would you be driving around in a car by yourself wearing a mask?
Now, okay, I want to make this comparison. Now, technology, your beloved technology, has split us up quite a bit, where we're detached from each other, and the mask is just another step, right? Masks are humanity. Masks are, you know, showing the one's face to another human being is humanity.
It is, and we're going to do that again, and I really believe that the mask, for some people who have always had psychological problems, I mean, it's not new, but there we go. For those folks that, you know, are particularly shy, have a hard time, really would not like to look you in the eyes anyway, type of thing, the mask has been this thing that they can cover their face and feel more confident, actually, right? So
I
think they're going to be hesitating to give it up, but the rest of us are going to be enjoying each other's faces light up. I think in many ways we've learned to read each other's eyes in a better way, right? You've learned to express through your eyes your pleasure, your love more, but at the same time, it's, you don't get that whole face, and we're going to, we are now, and we're busting out.
The other day I was at the,
yeah, go ahead.
Anyway,
we're obviously having some technical problems.
The other day I was in the co-op, and you know, nowadays if you've got the vaccine, apparently you don't wear the mask. So the checker was not wearing a mask. She was smiling at me, and as I left, I told her, I said, by the way, underneath this thing, I'm smiling. She said, I could tell.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyway,
all right, Jim,
well,
you have a great Memorial Day.
You too. Take care.
Take care. Bye now. All right, our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Fox News is next. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome. Thank you for joining us this beautiful Memorial Day weekend. Our number is 580-KIDO. Let's go right to the phones. I believe we have Joe first. Is it Joe?
Yes, it's Joe.
Great. Joe, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, long-time listener and first-time caller.
Well, thanks
for calling.
The comment
I wanted to make is, yeah, that I would argue with all the rest of them that have called in that I think there is the casino that I have pretty good money in that I like to call it gambling. But it's been the most blessing to my life. I'm about your age, Dave. One of these years, I'm not going to retire, but I think I'm going to make a career change.
Good.
Good, because I'm like many people. I'm working today. I work in sales. But I've been really blessed with putting money in the market and in the companies that you see where there's people waiting in line to buy their products. And when I go to Walmart, I push the carts in and say, I'm a part owner in this business because I'm a stockholder. Been blessed. And my question really comes up, Dave, is that I do have some money that I've taken out of the market because I think it's, and what do you do when it's at record highs? And what do
you know,
do
that's
if things... But yes, I agree with what I'd argue with previous to it, say that products that you really see that people really want that actually have a connection with the material you got to dig out of the ground and put together, like you said, ammunition, toilet paper, those things, the prices seem to go up, and then I think they're just going to stay up, kind of like real estate here. I don't think it's going back to 1982 levels.
Yeah, I hope we don't have inflation like that again either.
At interest rates that we have today, I look back and I think if I had to get an 8% mortgage like I got my first house at, I don't know how any of these kids would afford a mortgage at 8 or 9% on a $300,000 house.
No, I know. You can't. And that would be a real big problem. It would also be a big problem for our national debt. All the way around, higher interest rates are a problem.
And that's why I would argue that I don't know how we do keep the current economy going without just keeping to print money to keep interest rates low.
Well, I think the market needs to find its way. You can't just keep printing money and buying back your bonds. At some point, people don't believe you have the capacity to do that. They don't trust it, and so therefore they don't buy the bonds that you're printing. So that's where you start getting runaway inflation. But I don't think that's coming. I don't think it's coming soon at any rate. I certainly agree with you. You go and you buy those great companies and hold them for the long term has always been a winner. So I appreciate it. I appreciate you calling, Joe. Thank you.
Yeah, just keep
thank
saving.
You. And hope you will.
Thank you for all your advice, and I try to keep and do and invest best for the long, but I gamble in the short.
Okay, well that's okay. If you want to have a little speculation, I don't have a problem with it. I just don't want it to enter into a person's portfolio on a regular basis, worrying about the short term. It's always timing the market has never worked. The Market Timing Hall of Fame has nobody in it. And I don't know why we can't just look at that and go, yeah, I guess there isn't anybody. A whole lot of people smarter than I have, that I am, have lived before me, and they can't time it. So why do I just not accept that? And so good for you. Joe, thank you again. Have a great day.
I do appreciate your advice, and I always think when I'm up 10%, I feel lucky and I feel scared.
All right. That's good. All right. Have a great day. And our number is 580-KIDO. I believe we have Terry next. Terry, go ahead, please.
Good morning, Professor. How you doing?
Good, Terry. Good. I'm doing
well.
Where's
the tea time today?
No tea time today. Tea time tomorrow.
Okay. Well, shoot them well.
Actually, hey, I
did
want
to take.
So there you go.
I did want to take one small complaint to you. Saying happy Memorial Day just sort of grates on me.
The what now?
Saying happy Memorial Day sort of grates on me a little bit. Maybe a blessed Memorial Day, because this is the day we're celebrating our war dead.
Yeah, I agree with you, Terry. You're right. You are absolutely right. I will own that. I will own that.
So just something to kick you while you're up.
I remember everybody. You know what I mean? I think it's just a time to remember the people that have come before you.
Right. To get on the ability to relax because you have an emergency fund to cover, say, 3 months of obligations is sort of the same way or reason I have some gold and some food and some booze and some tobacco and guns stored up, too. If there is a problem, supply chain shortage or what have you, me and my neighbors are going to be well off or be able to get by for however long we need to let things settle out and get back to normal or as close to normal as possible. So that's part of why having the guns and the booze and the food and whatnot.
Yeah. No, I don't. Listen, I think that's absolutely warranted and true. I tease my wife about all the corn she has in the freezer and stuff. But the reality is that there's nothing wrong with that. It's a philosophy. I'm going to have a little bit of, 3 months worth of income needs. You never know. Little emergency fund, all that stuff. I think that's all smart. It's when you have the philosophy of building something out in the middle of the desert or something stocking it for like you're going to be part of a, or I'm putting it all in gold because I know that's what's going to happen. So that difference.
The all or nothing at anything is wrong.
Correct. It is. You're absolutely right. Yep.
Earlier, you were talking about taxes and whatnot. And just you go back to Art Laffer and the Laffer curve, the correlation between tax receipts and tax rates. The sweet spot is about 17%. And you go your tax rate higher than that, you start getting less revenue. So you keep that in mind. You can understand where it's going to stop, where it's got to stop.
You do. They don't care, because the fact of the matter is too. It's also a completely different ball game when you're talking about capital gains, right? Because you're also talking about where will people sell, not just hide or stop working. Where will people decide? I am not going to sell this and pay half in tax. Instead, they keep it, and instead of moving that asset to somebody who's going to, let's say, make it really grow, there's really excitement. I'm going to take this business, and then I'm going to take it to the next level. And then they employ more people, and the economy booms even more. All that stuff is missed when we go to capital gains, punitive taxes. And that's also why, so it's a bigger question. It's a whole economy there. It's not just we're going to get less revenue and people won't sell. It's a huge negative. Difficult to measure, but what isn't difficult to measure is the fact that people stop selling. It's happened every time. It's not a political statement to say that tax rates, if you take capital gains, that people will say, no, I'm not going to sell my stock and move on to something else. How much revenue do you get there? Zero. So you have a whole lot of zero for the occasional person that you are able to. They had to sell. We crushed them with their 50% tax after holding an asset for their whole life. It's lunacy. It is punitive. And it's terrible in every way. Go ahead, Terry.
Well, it's sort of why this, the philosophy of agorism, this is the point at which I will stop playing your game and let you stew in your own juices, so to speak. I'll just sit back and watch you flog around and see what happens and come back when you're done screwing things up.
Right. That's right. That's good. All right, Terry, I've got a roll. We've got hard break coming up.
All right. Take care, sir. Have a good weekend.
Thank you for winning. Thank you. You do the same. Have a blessed Memorial Day weekend. Thanks. And our number is 580-KIDO. We have to take a final break, and we will be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. I appreciate it very much. Our number is 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. If you have any comments or questions during the week, you can always shoot those over to PetsoFinancial.com. We also have a lot of different links there, including an annuity. A little rundown on annuities, the ones that are, if you will, sold in seminars and on radio and et cetera, what they're really about. And it's kind of brief. I tried to do a good job of keeping it short. It's not all the details are there, but hopefully it's enough. And if it's not, please feel free to shoot over a question as a follow-up, okay? Now, anyway, also don't forget about our YouTube channel as well. And we're going to be getting more and more stuff there for beginning investors coming up, and we'll let you know when that happens. All right, let's jump on the phones. Let's go to Bob. Bob, thank you so much for holding. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Dave, just curious about your experiences with your clients over your years. And as you get into years and I get into my years, I'm always curious about what you've learned from your clients of the greater in Social Security age. Do they have a greater concern for, will I have enough money or how do I spend my money? Do you see one or either or neither of those?
I see both. Absolutely. Yeah. I see both. I think that there's certainly the biggest concern is, of course, will I have enough income to live out my life, right? In the style I want. That probably is the largest one. In the end, though, as things have, if you will, I don't mean in the end as in the end of somebody's life, but as we get older, you also recognize what is the right thing to do because I have been given so much. What's the right thing to do? Is it to leave all of it to my kids? Should I split it up? What charities do I want? You know, those kinds of things. How do I want to leave that part of my legacy? So it's both. It clearly is both.
So then it sounds like once in your mind you have it settled where, yes, you'll have enough, then it's, well, what do I do with it now? Maybe one comes before
Correct.
The other.
I think the one does come before the other. I think sometimes people, if you will, I just use me as an example. I'm so blessed to do what I do every day. I don't know why I would give that up. Okay. So
yeah,
because I can retire doesn't mean I'm going to. I'm just not. So there is, I'm not going to, I don't want to. So it is a something that I start thinking about that probably sooner than I worry about running out of money, because I don't worry about running out of money at this point of my life. So it's both, but for most people, the first question that they need to know is, do I have enough? And then you start from there. Okay.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot. Hey, thanks for all your help.
Thank you.
Here.
This is a very good question. I'd like to talk more, so prompt me again. I'm sorry we're up against the very end of the program, but a very good way to end it. So thank you. Have a blessed Memorial Day weekend, everybody, and I thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.